I remember my mother once remarking, if any of you, meaning any of us of the four children, argue over your inheritance, then Dad and I don't want you to have anything. She meant it. Without realizing it, our mother had adopted the attitude of a king or a master, the one in Jesus' parable today. You can keep it all, the king tells his servant. Just be sure that you show the same mercy that I'm giving to you. But human nature as it is, though, we know what happens. The servant shows no mercy to his debtors. He quarrels and argues for what he believes belongs to him. There is no room for concession or compromise. And at the end of the parable, we see what the master thinks of that servant's actions. You know, we do hear a lot about forgiveness in Christian faith. We know that it lies at the heart of our salvation. Put simply, without forgiveness, we don't have a chance with God. In the scriptures, in the teachings of our faith, we know how much we are called upon to forgive those who have trespassed against us. It's part of the prayer that Jesus himself gives us. And yet, we also know that in the real world, forgiveness has limitations. I mean, if the state forgave every crime of its citizens, you would wind up in a state of anarchy. And as much as we'd like to think that forgiveness will evoke reform in the life of an offender, the human condition would suggest otherwise. And our own experience will often confirm this as well. But that said, we still are told in no uncertain terms that forgiving is the rule and not the exception in the life of faith. We also know, though, that hearing it on one hand and living it on the other are two very different things. Sometimes the difficulty in forgiving lies in its apparent, at least, unfairness. Why should we forgive somebody who doesn't seem to deserve it? That's part of the difficulty. But the other part is hinted in today's first reading from Sirach. Sirach speaks to us about the dangers of anger. Seems that anger and forgiveness do not mix. But all too often, it's we ourselves who don't take ownership of our own anger. It's always somebody else's fault. Years ago at the seminary, I remember getting very angry with another student. I argued with him, and at the end of the argument, I kind of yelled at him, and I said, you really upset me. Not my exact words. Sometime later, I told my spiritual director about the argument. He was a wiser, older man, and he gave me his take. He said, sure, you had a good reason to have a dispute, but nobody made you angry. You became angry all by yourself, and you indulged in that anger. Still not quite sure about that. But his basic point is valid. We cannot use our anger to excuse away our bitterness, our resentment, or even our lack of civility towards others. Clearly, that is not the gospel message. But beyond that, our anger and our lack of forgiveness will most certainly come back to haunt us. Over time, they only rob our lives of energy and vigor, of a sense of joy and peace about life. Our celebration of this Eucharist comes about not because we are forgiving people all the time. Rather, it comes about because we have been forgiven first. The God revealed in Jesus is the one who has taken the initiative. God forgoes the punishment we deserve for our sins so that it might allow that same mercy to flow through our lives.